Welcome. You have just tuned in to the station WWGH 107.1 FM radio. And the program you are listening to is A Voice of a People with Linda Sims. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Also, download free app. Call TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. A lot of people want to know, well, when you say electronic device, what do you mean? Well, we're talking about cell phones, iPhones. We're also talking about tablet, your computer, whatever electronic device that you have. You can download that free app called TuneIn, and you will have a select choice of programs to listen to, including A Voice of a People. Thank you. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic, Hold Specialist, LLC, 309 Suite A, North Main Street, here in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, location 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-223-1515. And they have an ongoing announcement, free produce market every second Saturday of every month. So that'll be this Saturday coming. Yes, it will be. Time 12 p.m. until 2 p.m. Location, Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. All you need to do is show up, provide your name and number of people in your family. So mark your calendars and don't forget, it is this Saturday coming. Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company. With 25 years of experience working for you. Their telephone number is 740-262-0939, and they are located in LaRue, Ohio. I don't know if I've mentioned this for Logos Christian Ministries. If you want to know anything else that they have going on, check with www.logoschristianministries.com. I have a thought for you today. Don't wait for someone to bring you flowers. Plant your own garden and decorate your own soul. I thought that was so inspiring.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Good idea.
No one brought me a flower today. You know how grumpy you can get over something like that?
Oh, you know it. You know it.
Well, nobody thinks about me. Nobody loves me, you know.
But do we love ourselves?
True.
Big question.
Right.
I hadn't faced that question for years.
I used to buy flowers for myself all the time just to have them on my kitchen table, you know.
Yeah.
Lifts up your spirits, right?
Yeah, it does.
Right. And the voice you're listening to is Barbara A. Burney. How are you doing, Barbara?
I'm wonderful. Wonderful. Excited to be here again.
Absolutely. Excited to have you. And she is a poet. And believe it or not, Barbara will be among the list of many for the open mic night in September at the Pavilion, which is an attachment to the Palace Theater, downtown Marion. How do you feel about that, Barb?
I am super excited about that. I guess just, what did they used to call you when you liked to be in front of people, you know? But I love people,
right.
And I obviously have no trouble speaking.
That's for sure.
That's just something God blessed me with. But to share, the main thing is to share what God has given me. He didn't give me the things that I write just so I can put them in a notebook and sock them away. And I've been doing that since seventh grade, and finally finding avenues, you know, to use my poetry. And I'm very, very excited about that. So come out and listen to poetry.
Yes, yes. They have all sorts of things going on that night. I'll have to get that date and put that over the air also,
right.
The date of open mic. We attended last year. We had a good time.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Yes, it was. All the talent that was there, yes. The Palace Theater does a good job getting the news out about what's going on, you know,
right,
at the Palace
yeah.
Theater, and they reach out to everyone.
Yes, see, I was amazed at that,
right.
Actually. You know, I mean, their outreach in the community, mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of talent out there, people.
Oh, yes.
That, you know, just sitting, you know, not knowing what to do with it.
Right.
You know, so I know, for instance, I play the piano by ear, and I play all the time, but it's who hears me.
Right.
Which, that's fine, because mostly when I play, it's worship. You know, I play worship, you know,
that's
to
good.
My King. So, but yeah, there's a lot of talent, a lot of people have a lot of things that they can do, and kudos to Palace
right.
Theater for, you know, for pulling in those strings that seem to be dangling,
yes,
and nobody's
yes.
nobody notices. So
right.
That's a good
Everyone
thing.
Has a chance to share their gifts and talents, and,
yes.
and that's big. That's really, and it's so important that we do that.
It
that
is.
Way we don't feel so left out.
Right, right.
No.
You know, everybody needs to feel important
right,
in some
right.
way, you know, so.
And that's like planting your own garden.
Yes, it is.
You know,
good point there.
Yeah,
it is.
Yes. Decorate your own soul.
Decorate your own soul.
That's something mm. so powerful.
I guess if we spend our time making ourselves agreeable,
mm-hmm.
making ourselves, making it so other people want to see us, so
mm-hmm.
other people want to share and what we are and who we are.
Right.
And that's a big job, you know.
Yes.
It
yes.
really is. I mean, you know, you have to keep yourself, well, for me, I have to keep myself in the Word. If I'm not in the Word
true.
Of God, you know, I would soon be not very, very pleasant, but that's part of the planting and the flowers that grow in your life.
Yes, yes, it is. Yes, it is. I didn't know that statement would be so profound today, but it seems
I
to
know.
Be, right?
Yes, it is. It goes... kind of coincides a little bit with my theme today. I wrote a poem.
She's getting ready to gift us with her gift of poetry. She's really good at that. I wish I could do that, but I can't. That's not where my gift is, but that is where her gift is. And did you have something you just want to give us at this moment?
Yeah, I really do, because it's kind of like the heart and things today is, as I've been, you know, praying and just kind of thinking, Lord, what should I do? A lot of them are about the heart.
Right.
And that's where our flowers have to grow.
Amen.
Is in the heart.
Yes,
so
yes.
That's really pretty good. It's called a sacred place. There is a place within my heart where only one can go, where all the feelings stop and start of things only one can know. That place is hidden from the world, a sacred place indeed, by invitation the only word for entrance one would plead. There is but one may come and go, unbidden it may seem, the abiding presence of the Lord, so sacred to the redeemed. Though life's issues often try us, unsettled, deep, and dark, demand a payment for a crime where no one would dare embark. It's then that the presence deep within speaks peace into the soul, for it's a place where joy begins, where only one can go.
That's great. That's great. And you just wrote that today.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I think. Is this, no, I didn't. No, this is not the one I wrote today. I wrote that on the 25th.
Okay.
But,
how long did it take you to write that?
You know, it's really kind of funny because some of them are just, you just can't get it on the page fast enough, seems
mm-hmm.
like. And others, I have started and gotten two or three stanzas, maybe half a poem written, and decided I wanted a cup of coffee.
Okay.
And go get a cup of coffee or go, you know, do this or do that and come back to it. And there have been some that I have come back days later and finished. So it's just, you know, it just all in, I guess, in how the anointing flows.
Right, right.
Sometimes I just decide I want to sit down and write my poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Other times I'm compelled to find a pen.
Right.
But it doesn't take long. Now, some, I have had a few poems that I just really, really had to work on. The kinds of poems that you really, really have to work on for me is like the one I read the first time I was here, and I read about my little girl, mm-hmm. Fix It Mommy.
Right, right.
Well, the reason poems like that take so long is because you have to sit and remember the situations. You know, like she was waiting for her big brother to come home from school, and she had a little stool that she sat on in front of the window. And when I read it to her, I said, Barbara, I said, this poem is so true. I said, all but the little stool.
Right.
And she read it, and she says, no, Mom, no. I did sit on a little stool there. So, that, you know, she has a much, much better memory than I do.
Okay.
And but that completed my poem, actually, because that was a fact.
Right.
But your factual poems, for me, do take longer to write than just, you know, sometimes when you're just swayed by emotion or a lot of feelings. Now, I don't normally write when I'm very emotional, because emotion has a way of finding itself in my words, you know. It just flows.
Oh, yeah.
It just flows
of course.
Out of me. And I think I said on here before, we don't need another raven. But it's amazing to me, because sometimes I go back and I read something, I go, wow, did I write that? But no, I didn't. The Holy Spirit did. Now, they're not all that way.
Right.
But some of my poems are just like, you know, when I go back and I read it, which I'll read a poem several times in the writing of it usually.
Mm-hmm.
But this one takes a little bit different twist. It's about the heart. It's self-explanatory, so it's called On the Tree of My Heart.
Okay.
I crucified him myself upon the tree of my heart. I chose to seek for riches and wealth, not to let his spirit impart. I gave myself pleasure I thought would satisfy, ignoring the only true treasure through knowing him I'd find. Then my pleasure turned to sorrow. My friends just turned away. I could not beg or borrow. I was too ashamed to pray. Upon my bed at midnight, when anguish had filled my soul, into my darkness a speck of light cast shadows, and then a glow. The cross within my heart still there, but the one I had hung there was gone. His arms outstretched, in wonder I stared, then my room filled with glorious song. He has risen, and I'm forgiven. He washed all my sin away. The tomb of my heart became a haven, and Jesus will forever stay. He is the King of glory, the majesty on high. Proclaim the wondrous story to all who will pass by.
Amen. I when you said, too ashamed to pray, and I know I've been there.
Have you been there?
Of course. I couldn't imagine anyone living today having come to a point in their life because of some of the things they've done, the choices that they've made, that they felt okay about praying about it. You know, oh my God, what can I say?
I know.
You know, and you try to hide like under a bush, as if you can hide from God, right?
Right.
But you can't hide from him. He sees all, right?
Right. And I'm going to address something that you just said.
Okay.
You know, you said something we have done / or decisions that we have made.
Right.
And immediately that spoke to me, because so many times we're not out there in the trenches kicking trash cans over or stealing jewelry.
True.
We're making decisions that we have not, you know, got clearance on. It's like an airplane, you know. You don't just take off in that airplane, you know. You radio the tower and say, you know, man, can I go east here? You know, however they talk. But when we don't get clearance for our decisions, then we make bad decisions, and that causes a pileup of bad behavior, mm-hmm. and a pileup of more bad decisions. And we do get ourselves in a bind, so to speak, you know, oh, Lord, you know, I know I should be, you know, I need help here.
Right.
But so many times we have to get so far down before we'll really see, you know, sometimes we have to see the bottom of the barrel before we even look up. But so many times it is a bad decision that we've made, and we get like that, you know, we crucify him on the cross of our heart. But isn't it wonderful? He's there.
Mm-hmm.
He's always there. Yes, and it's not till we're stretched out in our bed or at the bottom of the barrel, so to speak, nowhere else to go, we look up and there he is, stretched out. So
that's true. We were talking last time you were here about David, and because you were saying that you really don't do poems when you're emotional or upset, and I thought, well, we talked about how David, he really didn't care what was going on in his life. You know, he would say, Lord, you know, contend with him that contend with me. And,
he just kill him all, Lord.
Yes,
just kill him.
Yes. Hurry up and see about me, Lord. Make haste and deliver me. You
yes.
know. And to me, I thank God for David because speaks to me.
Yes.
The whole, anybody who reads it, he speaks.
Yes.
You know, out of his heart, out
yes.
of the pits of his very being,
yes.
he speaks. You know, and he holds nothing back.
Well, he helps us to see ourselves too, because
yes.
we've all been there.
Yes.
You know, not yes. we haven't been slaying literal giants.
Right.
But we've all had our giants, and you know.
And there'll probably be more to come. I mean, we're still in
absolutely.
The land of the living.
Well, I'm going to live till I'm 106,
right.
so you know, I'm expecting a few more giants.
Yes.
And so be it. I'm not fighting them alone. In fact, I'm not fighting them. The battle's the Lord's. I got a bill the other day, and I just held it up and said, Jesus, you got mail.
Amen.
I got that from Jesse Duplantis. So they asked him how in the world he paid these big, because he's on so many stations. Mm-hmm. He said, they want to know, don't you worry about it. And he said, no. I think I said this before, but he said, he just holds it up. He said, Jesus, you got mail. Mm-hmm. But, you know, God is faithful. And he never calls us to do something. He never equips us and calls us. He calls us and equips us. So
that's true.
Yeah.
And you don't know where he's going to stick you.
No, you don't. If we did, we'd run. We'd be like Jonah.
Yeah.
There'd be a lot of us in the belly of that whale.
Right. Jonah, go down and tell Nineveh to get themselves together and put away their sins, or else I'm going to destroy Nineveh, right?
He was like David, he said, kill them all.
I know, he didn't even care. He's like, Lord, please, I don't have time for that.
Well, he didn't think that heaven was created for those kind of wicked people. They, you know, they just, no. But God has a way of getting his way.
That's saying a lot because, you know, we find ourselves there too. You know, a lot of Christians think that, well, I have no sympathy for some people, you know.
Right,
That's not God. That's not Christ.
All right. Because we're after the cross. David was before the cross.
Right, right. Right, that's true.
But, yeah.
But he still had mercy on them, too.
He did.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he sure did.
Jonah said, just gonna kill me.
Yep.
Just gonna kill me.
Just throw me overboard. Now, I can imagine saying that, because if I thought I was gonna slip, I'd be, Please don't.
He was so upset with God that he saved those people.
I know.
He said, just even, don't kill me.
Yeah, even after the whale spit him out.
Right. Oh, wow.
And he preached that real short message, and God saved them all, then he was ticked off again. So, poor little thing.
And the Bible is full of poetry.
Yes.
And it's so, like you said, it's so us.
Yes.
You know, and we can all find ourselves there. If we would take the time to read,
yes,
you know, and find yourself, you wouldn't have to go very far.
That's so true. I'm not against other translations, but since I am a poet, you know, KJV is so poetical. You know, it's beautiful reading.
Yes,
you
it
know,
is.
And I can't do without my KJV, but I do, you know, when I do use other translations for different reasons, but.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes you have to. I thank God for that, too, because some things are made clearer,
Right.
You know.
Well.
And break it down, what certain words mean. And
what I have found helpful is when I'm dealing with other people, mm-hmm. someone that is not at all familiar with the Word of God. And, you know, of course, the devil's working there too, and any little thing that he can cause to stumble, you know, well, I don't understand that. What's those these and those and hithertos and, you know, all that stuff. And I have found it helpful, you know, to use other translations sometimes to non-Christians or even baby Christians.
True.
But, and there's some people who've been Christians for years and years and years and just wouldn't even think of doing KJV. But isn't that just like God? You know, he made so many different kinds of fruit.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he does.
So, you know, he just, we're without excuse.
Mm-hmm.
We are totally without excuse.
Yes, we are. You know, he is the giver of life. So what do you have for us next?
Well, I have something a little bit lighter.
Okay.
I was in my kitchen one day, and I have a window right over my sink, and I'm kind of an artist, poet, writer, that elusive type of personality, I guess.
Right.
I love water, to see water flow or to see just water crystals, you know, just droplets. It just kind of fascinates this little mind of mine. So it was raining, and the rain was hitting the window, and this is what came out of it. It's called Raindrops. Raindrops on my window, like art from unseen hands, portraying like an echo unspoken words from other lands. Words your eyes can only see, too splendid for the tongue, brings many things to memory for lyrics never sung. The artwork of a raindrop gives beauty to what's there, enhancing features you never saw, like mirrors in the air. Reminding me of miracles, the sun, the sky, the earth, illuminate shimmering spectacles, lest we forget their worth. Lord, thank you for reminders of just how great you are. Remove from us the blinders, so we see we're blessed by far.
Remove the blinders,
Lord,
because we cannot see.
Yes.
Give us eyes to see, ears to hear. And I think sometimes, well, he'll tell me something in his word, mm-hmm. and I'll be reading, and it's like, well, I know I've read this before, you know, but sometimes it just doesn't stand out to you at that moment.
Absolutely.
Then the next time you read it, it's like this big sunbeam, this big light.
Right.
Wow, why didn't I see that before?
Because you didn't need it. There's a revelation. Anytime you read the Word of God, there's a revelation for you, what you need in it at that time.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what your poetry does. It reaches everyone.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
To God be the glory.
Mm-hmm.
To God be the glory.
Because God doesn't give a minister or a preacher a sermon unless it hits everyone in the congregation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
We often
it's amazing,
that.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
We often
it's amazing.
Yes, it is. We all can, oh, well, that's me. And you can say, well, that's me. And people over there say, oh, wow, he touched me.
Right.
He read my mail today. So,
yep.
And then people get mad at the pastor sometimes.
How did you know that?
It's all my business, you know. How dare he do that? You know, people do that, you know, but how would he know such a thing?
How would he know?
Unless you told him. And if you didn't tell him, then who did?
Well, here's one on the tail end of that, telling everybody.
Okay.
It's called Think About It.
All right.
And I wrote this several years ago. I usually have them dated, but this one's not dated. It says, think about it. If your relationship with God were written, how much paper would it take? How many unkind thoughts or gestures do you think that you would make? How many times do we bring blessings or restore someone in need? Can we say we are a Christian by our words, our life, our deeds? Suppose someone you meet today has never known God's love. Would he see enough of Christ in you to find his way to God above? Lord, let our lives be living letters so that all we meet may know that God's Spirit dwells within us, sharing Christ wherever we go.
think about it.
It's more than a poem. It's a self-searching kind of thing, you know.
Right.
And I know personally I need to do that more often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I talked to one of the last times that I was here about, you know, I've asked the Lord to make me sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I want to
yeah.
be sweet. I want to
yeah.
be gentle.
Right.
And, you know, the Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath.
True.
And, but, yeah, we need to realize that, I was going to say when we walk out the door, but not necessarily so, you know, when our feet hit the floor, you know, how are we?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are we displaying who is within us?
Right.
You know.
Right. And that's so important.
It is.
And I think sometimes that goes over our head, you know.
It does, because we have feelings.
Yes, we have feelings.
Know?
And someone really hurt me, you know.
Yeah.
And, I don't even want to talk to that person again. But
right.
that's not how to deal with situations
it's not.
And circumstances.
It's not.
According to the Word. He even says if you feel that someone has an ought against you, go to them.
Yes, and I've had to
you
do
know?
That.
And if they refuse you, he said, well, go get a pastor or an elder and
right.
then go to them.
Right.
You know, so it's like you just don't drop the ball and let go. You
right.
know, you're supposed to.
And it's not anything that you did.
Right.
But I believe that a lot of times God allows those things to happen to see if we're going to be obedient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how we will respond to that.
Right.
And here's probably why. Is because we are living letters. You know, we are living letters as we go out. We're being read. Whether
yes.
we're being read good things
mm-hmm.
or whether we're giving out negative messages and chasing God away.
Right.
You know, we're being read. So, you know, it behooves us to check ourselves. We need to, well, they used to say, somebody say something bad or something, say, well, you need to check up from the neck up. No, you need to check up from the waist up. You know, it's got to be that heart's got to be in there.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you get your heart right, your mouth will follow.
Yeah.
That's not it. Your mouth don't lead the way.
No.
Your mouth leads you in trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
But you let your heart lead you. Let your heart lead your mouth instead of your mouth lead.
That's true.
Got to get the reins on the right.
Right. I've heard people say, you know, you have to tell your mind what to think.
Yes.
What not to think.
What? You know, Joyce Meyer preaches the message. She has a book about your thoughts,
mm-hmm.
you know, controlling your thoughts. You don't have to think everything that pops into your mind.
No, you don't have to dwell on it, that's for sure.
You don't. You have, you know, you can say, hey, what am I thinking about? And I have learned to say, devil, those are not my thoughts. You take them and go.
Thank you.
And I tell him where to go, too. In plain language. And then I say, in Jesus' name.
To hurry up and get there, right? Behind me.
I tell him where to go and right real quick.
Oh.
So, yeah, but...
And that is so true, because...
I used to get mad if I get wet.
Did you?
Oh, somebody spilled water on me. Hey, it make me so mad.
Oh, my.
It would enrage me.
Right.
But here again, the devil will use anything that he can find. Anything you let him know that bothers you, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But,
you can't let him in on a lot of things.
That's the truth.
It's like, you know, he's got a scope looking in your mind, but...
He can't.
Right, he can only...
And see, I didn't know that for years.
Right.
I did not know that mm-hmm. for years, but that gives me peace just knowing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just knowing that.
Right.
But, yeah.
Whether we serve mm-hmm. God or one another, we serve one another.
We have to serve one another.
In words, with our life being written... epistle, a book, or with our deeds,
mm-hmm.
the works that we do with our hands. It's so
mm-hmm.
important as Christians to serve one another. To serve.
Yeah.
Jesus came to serve.
He did.
He said, the greatest among you is your servant.
That's right.
Right? He yeah. serves because he came to serve. So sometimes I think we try to be much more than he was.
Yeah.
I'm too big to serve.
Right. Exactly. I'm the pastor. I'm not going to clean that toilet.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But I was reading this morning in my devotions about, and Paul was talking about your works, you know, and some people's works will be burned up, but they'll be saved, but their works are, and you know, it just almost puts a lump in my throat. You know, it, what am I doing?
Right, because he says, are you building hay and stubble on top of your salvation? Right. That's what he means, right?
I don't want, I don't want my works burn up.
Wow.
And it's actually scary to me, you know, and I think, Lord, you know, show me what to do here. You know, I'm not a singer. I'm not a pastor. You know, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm not a missionary. But we're all called.
Yes.
We're all called.
Yes.
And I want to make sure that I never miss an opportunity. I never miss an opportunity.
And see, that answers the question. A lot of people say, well, why was I born? Why am I here?
Right.
You know, because they can't find their place or position in the world. And they want to know, well, why am I here? Why was I born? Why did my mother abort me? I've even heard people say, why did my mother abort me?
Right.
You know, why did she bring me here?
Well, Job said he wished he died at birth.
Yes, he did.
Right?
Yes, he did.
It behooves us.
Yes, and God has a purpose and plan for all of us.
He does.
All of us.
He does. And you know, I was almost killed several years ago in an accident. Flipped my car, rolled it into a creek bed.
Wow.
Broke my back, and it was the hand of God that I didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, well, during that time as I was recuperating, I was never one time discouraged, depressed, never wondered why, never questioned why did that happen. And it was basically the end of my education. I had to quit. I was in college at the time. In fact, I was going to school to take a test.
Okay.
But anyway, that was pretty much the end of my education. And since then, you know how you get, how we get. I have wondered many, many times why I didn't die in that accident. But the Lord had His reasons.
Yes.
So that's comforting to me to know that I'm not just taking up space.
Right.
I don't want to just take up space.
And when you thought about that, did you feel like you should have been doing something outstanding in your life?
Well, you know, you do.
Yeah.
I was going to school, and when I started in back in the college, my kids were in what, third or fourth grade? I don't know. My kids will know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, no, I think they were older than that. They were probably in about the sixth grade. But anyway, I was going to open up a Christian school.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I went to school. Well, nothing like that has ever happened, you know, and I didn't continue my education, so I don't have the education now to do it anyway, you know.
Right.
So it's, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, we're hanging out to dry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure God has His reasons. He has His purpose, and I don't question that. I don't question that. The only thing I question is, am I in a place where I can hear His voice,
mm-hmm.
you know, with whatever He tells me to do?
Right.
That's the question of the day. Are we in the place where we can hear His voice? Because He's always talking.
Yes, He is always talking.
He's always talking. If we don't hear Him, it's because we're not listening.
That's true.
I believe that.
That's true. And I've learned over the years, when something happens, someone's had a dream about it.
Really?
Maybe they couldn't put together the pieces at the time they received a dream. Or they may have read something in a word of God. As a warning, I just don't feel that God surprises us with anything.
Right. You know, both of my children are dreamers.
Mm-hmm.
They both have dreams that, you know, that happen.
Yeah.
Their mother can't even remember a dream unless it's extremely scary or something's real, you know, just something real good, you know, like, you know, I don't know even what that would be, but you know what I'm saying. It has to just be wow for me to remember it.
Right, yeah, wake you up. But, maybe you're a hard sleeper. Some people are.
Yeah, I am, but I dream a lot. And here's the thing. When I wake up, I know I have dreamed.
Right.
And in my mind, I'll get flashbacks, but, I mean, you've heard the saying, don't have two nickels to rub together. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have two thoughts to rub together to put it mm-hmm. into words. And it's frustrating to me because
right.
you remember, in your mind, you remember dreaming, you know.
Yeah.
It just flashes, but not even enough to say anything about it. So I'm not a dreamer.
So you can't even get a sentence out of it.
No.
A couple words, yeah. You know. Yeah, it's just, I guess life is really exciting.
It is.
I think it is, and I think it goes way beyond what we can even think or imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Like the word says, we don't know the thoughts that he has towards
right.
us. Only he knows those thoughts, and
right.
we can get up in the morning and plan our entire day, but it's him that guides our footsteps, and it might not go that way.
Man plans his way.
Yes.
But God orders his steps.
Yes, he does. You know.
And my mom, when she was living, she always wrote scripture down. And I'm still finding them. I'm still finding them. Where she just would literally write the scripture out in longhand.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that the other day about, you know, man plans his way.
Mm-hmm.
But God directs
yeah.
his steps. And
it's like my calendar for my show. I got, you know. I had to put down the people who's coming, the time they're going to come. But then someone may call and say, well, I can't make it.
Right.
I cancel, you know.
Right.
I may have to cancel. We just don't know.
Right, we don't know.
We've already planned things out,
right.
you know. So, and I think that it's important to at least have a plan.
I do, too.
In life,
I do, too. And that's one of my biggest failings. My daughter gets a little irritated with me because... I don't remember things.
Mm-hmm.
She says, Mom, write it down. Well, I can write it down, put it on my refrigerator, and I can put it on my table, I can put it on my bathroom mirror, and I might see one of them.
That's why I carry that little fold-up calendar. It's got the plastic cover, and I try to keep it in my purse, or I may have to run to it, you know.
I even have some of it on my phone.
Oh,
I even use my phone planner.
Okay.
But you got to look at it.
Yes, you do.
Saying.
You have to look at it. Great expectation.
I need a planner that you can pin on your shoulder and it says, you have a meeting in 49 minutes.
Well, doesn't your phone do that?
Probably.
Bring up things every day?
No.
Oh, it should.
I don't think so.
Maybe you're not putting it in there right.
Probably.
Maybe not. Yeah, that's hard. She
I can turn it on. I can turn it off.
Yeah,
and, you know, I can hit clean and sweep and.
Right.
My battery needs charged. I plug it in.
Yeah, you're right about that. Writing things down, but what else you have for us over there?
Oh, what do I have? Let's see. Okay, I will let you choose.
Okay.
I have ones called Visions Anew, Thorns in the Garden, or He Calms My Storm.
Calms My Storm and the other one, Visions.
Visions,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
We just talked about dreams.
Yes, we did. This is called He Calms My Storm, and who doesn't have them?
Wow. Just got out of one on my way back in another one, right? Isn't that how it goes?
Oh, right.
Yes.
We just got dried off from the last one.
That's true.
He calms my storm when winds of trouble assail me. He stills the seas that writhe and boil about me. When woes would drown me in my tears, he steps aboard and calms my fears. Sometimes I'm on a mountain and I sit at Jesus' feet. It's there I'm drinking from the fountain of living waters, pure and sweet. Yes, there I rest from toil and sorrow, and my soul finds sweet relief. Oh, what joy on that great tomorrow when our journey is complete. Then sometimes I'm in the valley and I cannot feel him near. Its inky darkness covers me with clammy hands of fear. I look up to the heavens above and fall down on my knees. Then once again I feel his love, and the sun shines through the trees. This journey that we're traveling on has hills and valleys too. Sometimes the road is rough and long, some pastures green and smooth. One thing that never changes, though, the narrow path we're on, is guided by a hand we know will never lead us wrong. Amen. That was written January 25th, 1996 at 12:15 a.m.
And it's like, you know, sometimes you think, well, why, God, you knew I was going this way. Why didn't you stop me?
Yeah.
Why didn't you stop me?
Yeah, and
why didn't you tell me about this before I got there?
Right,
you know?
And sometimes he tried to.
Yeah.
Sometimes he tried to.
Yes, that's true.
And we don't realize that until we reflect on that, and we, you know, we remember that little pang, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Think about it, like that one poem you just read. Think about it, you know. Right.
Yeah.
Take time to think.
This one is Visions Anew. Okay, it's not the one I thought it was. I wrote one when I lived in South Dakota. I lived up on a mountain. And I would sit there at my rocking chair at a great big window, and I could see down over a town, a little veil like.
Hello, caller. Hello. Oh, something else. I pushed the wrong button, didn't I?
Oh, they call in?
Yeah. Some advertising.
Oh, okay.
Not for us.
But I would sit there and I would pray mm-hmm. over the town and over
right.
the people. And I wrote a poem about that, but this is not the one. Well, one of these days I'll bring that one in.
Okay, great.
Visions Anew. Lord, take me to the mountaintop where you can show to me what things to do and what to stop. Lord, make me plainly see. I'm here alone, just you and me. I need to chat with you. I've closed my doors so I can be vulnerable, Lord, and true. And while we're here together, examine every room. Check my motives, if whether my heart is still in tune. Then purge my mind of stuff that's there that may not please you, Lord. Take all the worries, junk, and cares, those things I can't afford. Replace my thoughts with visions anew. Denounce my fleshly will. O God, in me your spirit renew, your ways in me fulfill. Then take me from this mountaintop, put me on the battlefield, where hurting people can come and drop, and stubborn hearts will yield. Give me ammunition and wisdom of your word, my feet shod in preparation, and faith to wield the sword.
Okay.
We are on a battlefield.
Yes, we are. All the time. But visions, God's mercies are new every day.
Every morning.
Every morning.
Every
you get
morning.
A fresh new start.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, that's wonderful.
Isn't that wonderful?
That, oh, if it wasn't for that, we would be lost.
We couldn't start over. I'd be as lost as a goose in a hailstorm.
You know, to fix it, you know, he gives us a chance to fix what was wrong, you know, the day before.
Yep.
And also before you leave, our time is drawing near. Barbara also volunteers with the Voice of Hope here in Amarin, Ohio, which is a Bethel pro-life ministry. And how do you like that?
Oh my goodness. It's a highlight of my life.
Okay.
It's we get the opportunity to minister to so many people, hurting families and young women that come in not knowing what to do.
Right.
You know, and many times they decide to keep their children and we help them and school them literally with, you know, teaching tapes and information and I love it. I just it's very near and very, very dear to my heart.
Yes.
I love it.
Well, that's good. That's good because, you know, the Lord says, I came that you may have life.
Yes.
And that more abundantly, you know. And it's a very precious thing.
Yes.
To have life and to help these young ladies to make the right choices.
The right choices to save.
They have options, and we all know that they have options, but sometimes it helps to have someone to walk you through.
Yes.
Not really trying to force you, you know what I'm saying, because some people think that this is a program that tries to force.
Oh, we can't force. Right. You can't force. All you can do is offer the love of Jesus.
Right.
And you know, and offer all the help that they could possibly need.
Right.
To save the child, and you know, and sometimes they, you know, they just feel like they can't raise a baby, and we help them, guide them, you know, to a place where they can find adoption, you know.
Well, this year's banquet for Voice of Hope will be Thursday, September the 20th. You will find out more about this, I'm sure. I will have Barb Mills to come on the show before the event happens. I do know that the donations are $30 individually and $50 for couples. And it will be at the All Occasions in Waldo, Ohio. So we'll have her to come on and speak a little bit more about it. Okay. Can I keep this?
Yes, you
okay.
may.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for coming and sharing your beautiful poems with us. And those of you who are listening, you have been listening to Linda Sims on A Voice of a People. My guest today was Barbara A. Burney. She's a poet. And don't forget, we'll have some more with her, too, before she goes on stage at Open Mic at the Pavilion at Palace Theater in September. So till next time, be blessed. And don't forget to tell your friends and neighbors about the show. And if they're interested in possibly being a guest, please call 740-383-9944. Be glad to have you. Till next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion.